Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norman. I hope you are happy and well during these hot summer days. Norm, I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, I used to take the bus to school. I didn't have a car. At that time, I had huge 38 double D melons. During that time, I mostly wore halter tops, hot pants, and Converse All Stars. My brown hair ran down to the top of my Lux ass. Every morning, I would board the school bus that would stop at the end of my street. I was the only student that got on that bus when it stopped at the end of my street. My school bus driver's dream was to one day become a world-renowned opera singer. I have a recording of him singing songs as he drove the school bus. I'll play a recording of my bus driver singing now.
I drive a school bus, it ain't no fuss. A busload of chicks, better than a room full of ticks. Day in and out, the chicks come and go. I love them all, ho, 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 and ho. Flat or filled out, it's okay with me. I drive a school bus.
Norman, whenever I climbed up the steep bus steps, I would stop on the first step and I'd just stand there for about 45 seconds. I always felt very powerful vibrations coming from the first step. The odd vibrations traveled up my tan, silky, smooth teen legs, and they vibrated my blood-engorged clitoris. It felt good. By the time I got to the second step, I started to lose control of myself. The vibrations coming off the second step were twice as powerful as the vibrations I felt on the first step. I was really wet as I shakily stood frozen on the second step, and my nipples were rock hard. Norman, when I got to the third and final step, my eyes would be rolled to the back of my head and my mouth would be open. When my Converse All-Stars made contact with the third step, I would come really hard. Like again and again. It was embarrassing. I made sounds as I came. Primal Heart of Darkness sounds. Sounds that seemed to come from the deepest recesses of my soul. I tried to hide my young sexy cum face and cum grunts from the bus driver, but it was to no avail. The driver knew I was coming. He lived for it. When I sat at the back of the bus, I would finger myself until we arrived at my school. I used my wet pussy juice soaked pointer finger to draw pictures of cats onto the fogged up bus windows. The school bus steps made me so fucking horny. I had no choice, damn it. I needed relief. Norman, myself, and every other teenage girl that boarded that school bus driven by that driver thought the strange addictive vibrations were being generated by the running school bus motor. But we were wrong. So very wrong. Why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you this story as a warning to all female students that ride school buses. Norman, it was later discovered that the school bus driver had installed a remote-controlled atomic-powered pussy vibrating machine under each of the school bus steps. The vibrations were specifically designed to travel up a girl's legs to her clitoris. The custom-made step vibrators were labeled. The first step was called cold hole, the second step was called warm hole, and the third step was labeled hot hole. Norman, after the school year ended, I was treated for clitoris vibration syndrome. A man in the clinic had heard what had happened to me, and he came up to me and he said,
"When I was a kid, I was filling up water balloons and throwing them at my dad while he lounged in the backyard. I was wearing a Yogi Bear bikini bottom swimsuit. It was the summer and I was having fun. At some point, our neighbor took aim at my stumpy stiff penis and he shot a vibrator dart into my pud. Of course, I stood there unsure as to what was happening, as my tiny dick was vibrated until I came. My pop saw what was happening, and he ran to me. But our bearded black-robed Iranian neighbor shot my father in the dong also as my pop flew mid-air towards me. My old man dropped like a rock, and he was shaking real bad, and then he came also. My mother pulled the darts out of our cocks using needle-nose pliers, and then she applied mercurochrome to the dart holes in our pricks. Vibrator darts were outlawed in 1971. It was a bad scene, man. People everywhere to get anyone off by just shooting a vibrator dart into their clit, nipple, or cock. Someday I will find this greasy sand rat, and I will kill him.
Norman, I am telling you this story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, be careful if you find yourself coming very hard while standing on the steps of your school bus. Your cum-stained legs may be being deliberately vibrated by hidden understep atomic-powered vibrating machines installed by the school bus driver in an effort to get you to come. It happened to me. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to vibrate my clitoris and fuck hole while I smoke weed, tap my bong, dry hump a pillow, and come while I lie atop my dead grandmother's whiskey, semen, and piss-stained mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
Pardon me. Just rolling a cigarette, fuckstick. So maybe you've seen the news, or maybe you haven't. A lot of the forests in Canada are on fire now. I guess high heat, no rain. So forests are burning in Canada. And all that smoke from hundreds and hundreds or thousands of acres, all that smoke is now moving towards Michigan. And it is here. When I say it is here, I mean it's so thick outside, you think that it's like a movie like The Others with Nicole Kidman. It's like thick fog. And everything smells of wood, like you're gonna got barbecue going. And that's what's going on where I live now in upper northern Michigan. Hello?
Is this Norm Augustinus?
Yes.
Is this Norm?
I said it was.
You killed my daughter.
Who is this?
She died from taking too big a dick.
What does it have to do with me?
Everyone knows it was your monster cock that turned her into a vegetable.
Who's everyone?
Why did you do that to my daughter?
I don't even know who your daughter is.
You could have pulled out, but you didn't.
Pulled out of what?
Her cunt was so busted up, the mortician decided to just fill her cunt hole with Carbondo.
Never heard of such a thing.
She was so excited to get to meet you, and then you murdered her.
I've never murdered anyone.
Did you even think about using pussy lube?
I use lube all the time.
She might still be here today if you had greased her hole before you jackhammered it with your fuck stump.
Whatever.
I hired 3 colored dudes from Alabama to lop off your freakishly big cock while you are sleeping.
From Alabama?
They're on their way. All of them were brass knuckles all the time.
Brass knuckles all the time, huh?
You dirty cock bastard. You're dead motherfucker.
Good.
My daughter couldn't even shit at the end. You hammered her shithole too, didn't you?
I've never hammered anybody's shithole.
People aren't supposed to get fucked to death. It's supposed to be enjoyable with wine and Jiffy Pop popcorn and shit like that.
I've never fucked anybody to death.
You killed my baby with your enormous cock.
That had nothing to do with me.
You split her in half.
I never split anyone in half.
Too big a dick.
I'm hanging up.
Why did you do that?
I said I'm hanging up.
The coloreds are coming for you.
Good.
You dick my daughter into the ground.
I'm hanging up. Goodbye. Jesus Christ, man. Again and again. Okay, let's get back to what we were talking about. We've got heavy, heavy smoke just floating above the ground, billowing like something in a spooky movie, something in a horror movie. And it's giving people a lot of trouble. Some people can't breathe. Some are wearing masks. Some are staying inside and breathing oxygen. Even up in upper northern Michigan, where all the tough people live, all the people like your correspondent, even up here, there's people who can't take it. Now, in the upper peninsula, they love it. They don't mind that shit at all. Completely different person. Don't go up there.
I'm warning you, you're not prepared. Do not go up there. One time or three times or five I've been up there. The one time I went up there, I stopped at a McDonald's. And at the McDonald's, I went in. And when I went in, literally every window in the McDonald's was covered an inch-thick sheet of flies. A thick sheet of flies. I mean, living flies, not dead flies. And at least an inch thick, they were everywhere inside this McDonald's because it's such a forested area, such a rural area. When I went and I went up to the counter and I went to talk to the lady at the counter, that's the lady that takes your order. I said, boy, you got a lot of flies. And she said, we do? She didn't even know there were flies in there. She had no comprehension that there were flies in there. I could have taken a spatula. I could have taken a chili spoon and just ate them off the windows and forget about even ordering. That's how thick the flies were in this restaurant. I said, you got a fly problem here, eh, miss? She said, we do? She didn't even notice it. When I went into the toilet, it smelled like shit so bad. And when I came out of the toilet, which was shocking to me, there were people sitting all over the toilet. All around it, in booths, and, you know, those things you sit in the McDonald's booths. And nobody seemed to notice the extreme smell of shit coming out of the toilets. They're just a different person. And I want to go there. You won't understand it. You won't be able to make it. The only thing good there is in the UP is the chicks, because they're so fucking horny. They're so, what's that thing, we so horny, me so horny? They're so horny for dick. Now, that would help you, but how much can you dick? You don't live it like I do. Spiritually, the idea of pussy is built into me. It's embedded into me in a different way than like any other man. I constantly need to get pussy to reaffirm who I am. I think that's it anyways. You're not like that. You're probably like a normal dude. You're going to your fucking 11 or 12 hour shift at the screw machine factory, and you don't have time to think of pussy like I do. When they're up there in the UP, that all I want is, all the chicks want is dick. Don't go up there. Don't go to a McDonald's. You'll be sorry. I mean, very, very sorry. One time I went up there and I saw a baby stroller in one of the public restrooms and someone had shoved it into the outhouse toilet and I saw it floating in the shit. And for just a second, I thought, should I notify someone? Should I call a warden? Should I call a game warden? Should I call a state police? How could a baby stroller be in the fucking outhouse? They jammed it in the hole and shoved a baby stroller in the outhouse? How could that be like that? And I thought, was the baby in it? Is there a baby in the shit right now? And I realized it works sort of like all babies and shit. We can't do much. It's a shower all the time. I felt sorry for the kid, and I really start to worry thinking that. How could there be a stroller, a baby stroller, in the outhouse? It didn't make any sense. Don't go up there. You'll see shit like that. It's, what's the word they use? Freaky and very different from where you're at. Just all I know. So, the smoke has been so heavy where I live right now that people are wearing masks. They're wearing oxygen tanks and putting oxygen and getting direct oxygen. People are walking around with washcloths with water on them. They squeeze the water out to somehow filter the burning smoke, the smoke that's in the air from the woods that are on fire, the forest and the trees that are on fire in fucking Canada. Well, the bad thing about that is this. What you're really smelling is somebody dying. I mean, a tree was a living thing. We're smelling death in the air, sort of similar to like maybe, it's horrible to say, like Auschwitz or something like that where they had ovens. These are the ashes of living things that we're breathing as we're walking around upper northern Michigan. I don't know wherever you are. You may be smelling the smoke too, but it's that dense and that heavy. And walking around, I thought that, boy, I'm smelling all this death. These trees were alive. They recently found out that trees can communicate with each other through some kind of like a neurotransmitter network with their roots underground. There's a boss tree, there's other trees, there's supporting trees. If a tree is sick, they'll try to support that tree and feed it things. That's what they've recently found out about trees. So, excuse that noise you might hear. That noise you hear is me moving on this. Hear that? That's me moving on. I'm laying on my back with my dick out. If you saw me, you'd be freaked out. I got my dick out. I got my fucking brass plate with a picture of an elephant carved into it. I've got that out. I've got some drinks out. I got some fucking coffee with fucking peppermint schnapps in it. I lay on this thing and do this recording into a fucking Tandy tape recorder, cassette tape recorder. I just fucking love it. You just hit the red button. You hit the red button, and it starts recording you just like that. When you're done recording, you hit the fucking black button, and it stops recording. I take that and I transfer it over, but it's got the best audio I've ever heard. I mean, nobody has that kind of audio. People doing these recordings and shit got thousands of dollars and the fucking equipment, financed equipment, all this other bullshit, because they weren't really into somehow doing something like your correspondent, Norm Augustinus. They were interested in some big fucking greasy fuck coming up to them and getting them on a commercial or some shit like that. I've been proposed like that a lot, and I always say the same fucking thing. No. I want to do what I want to do. I want to say what I want to say. That's why I fucking built this thing up over years and years and years. So the smoke is so goddamn thick that I've only found one real benefit, the smoke. And if you think about it, it's the ashes of the dying trees in the air, the ash, the stench of their death. If you think about it like that, it can really freak you out. It can really bother you. And it started to bother me. Now, here's the only time that I've seen this heavy smoke when Canada was on fire, when the woods of Canada were on fire, and the winds blow it our way. The one benefit I've seen, and I'm going to tell you the benefit I've seen, something I've learned about myself that I didn't know at all. I didn't know this benefit of myself, that could I how I could benefit from actually burning trees, the death of trees in another fucking country, the smoke in the air, the winds blowing everywhere, which way and fro and back, whatever you, however they say it. I learned one thing, and here's, I'm going to start right now. You're going to say, well, what is that one thing, Norm? What one thing did you learn? Because it seems like you've got a lot of one things you've learned because you endlessly can do these recordings. And why is that? Because they're not made up. Because I've lived this shit and continue to live it. And why? Because of the horrible hazard, the wickedry, the devil-likeness of being attractive. Because I'm so attractive and you're not, that draws in a lot of bitches. When you're good looking, their guard goes down. They want to pump it. They want to be near something good looking. And that's what they want to do with me. That's what happens. Their guard is down. I get a lot of bitches because I'm so attractive. And because I get so many bitches because I'm so attractive, they all have their own story. I mean, you don't ever want to imagine or try to ever dissect the idea of imagining what a woman is seeing with her eyes. I've done this at length. I've doped out in my fucking room, and I've done this at length, and I've tried to imagine all these female eyeballs. I mean, there's like 8 billion people on the planet, 350 million in United States alone, 175 million women. All these goddamn eyeballs, what they've seen when it comes to dick, when it comes to fucking, when it comes to doing the things that they've done, the horrible sights that they've seen in those eyeballs. So you think about that with the bitch to the right of you or to the left of you in your cubicle. The things she's seen would put you into immediate rigor. You wouldn't be able to move. You wouldn't be able to walk. Nothing, because it's so shockingly horrifying. But I do have all this. When I say action, you know that what that means. I do get a lot of action because I'm attractive and I'm well-spoken. Bright green eyes, 6'2", 175 pounds. They can't resist that shit. And you think, wow, what a philosopher. I want to be with a philosopher. I want to be with someone who would talk and exchange ideas and stuff like that. It's not really like that with me, but they think that anyways, and let them go on believing it. So here's where this fucking thing starts. I had to lead into this thing. I had to get my voice primed and ready. I've got a once-in-a-lifetime, a once-time voice that nobody else has. I've had people write me and they say, "This, I initially couldn't stand you because of your accent." Then they say, "I now like you because of your accent." They didn't like me because of my accent. So I've had things like that happen a long time, for over many years. So right now is where we're going to start. So whatever you have to do, get yourself ready, pull your meat out, get ready to pump off. Whatever you have to do, maybe you're pumping your bitch right now, you kind of settle in and get ready for what I'm going to say. Why have I learn something about smoke? What could I have learned about smoke, about dying trees in Canada? Well, it's really shocked me, and it may shock you too, and it may help you because it's accessible. You don't have to have money. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to have a job to learn this one thing that I learned from burning trees. And anybody can do it, and it can improve your life tenfold. I'm not shitting you. In just a fortnight of fucking smoke, I have become a different person with regards to some certain areas, a different, inviting, embracing person with regards to certain area that we're going to talk about. Now, I told you that a woman came over because my bathtub fell through the floor. My bathtub fell to the floor because some fuck tricked me. Some fuck put a big ass carpet out in the rubbish on trash day. And they were wanting you to go for it. They were baiting me. They were tricking me. They knew goddamn well this carpet had been nuked by cat urine, which is impossible to get out. There's crystals in it called uric crystals, and you can't get the uric crystals out. And anytime the carpet gets wet, they reactivate, and you smell nothing but pungent, strong urine. These people knew that. And I can't tell you how many times I imagined myself going to their house where I took this carpet from the front. They were throwing it out on a rubbish day for the rubbish man, the guy that comes in a big truck. They threw it out so someone would take it away from them. But they knew that it had been nuked for morbid because it was covered in cat piss. And I thought again and again, if I found that cat, I'd twist that fucking cat's head off. If I found those two people, even though they didn't try to set me up, that I walked into that, I'd try to do something to them. I don't know what. I think I'd take the back of a Glock and I'd gun butt them in the back of the head for doing that because it cost me a fucking fortune. I thought I had a very expensive carpet. It was like 14 feet long, beautiful carpet. And I thought, I'm going to take this. I've never done it before. And they knew better. Damn thing stunk to high heaven. Nonstop stench of urine. It wouldn't go away. Everything it touched, it stunk. The car stunk. I had to get the car worked on. It's like a fucking joke. They should make a major motion picture on a guy like Norm Augustinus who finds a carpet, thinks it's worth a fortune, probably was, $400 or $500, takes it home, but it's been pissed on every half inch. Some cat knew right where to piss, and he dropped 16 ounces of urine in that carpet, and then somebody like me, a rube like me, a mamaluke like me, a mook like me, picked it up, and then what do I got? All kinds of goddamn trouble, all kinds of bills. I even tried to put that carpet in my bathtub, and when I put the carpet in the bathtub, what happened? Man, it got very hard, heavy. Like one gallon of liquid equals 8 pounds. So imagine a carpet that huge, completely soaked, because I put it in the bathtub. Well, a fucking 600-700 pounds of weight in the bathtub, and it went through the bathtub, just nuked the bathtub, blew through the floor, busted out wires and pipes, and landed on the basement floor. All because I was going to get this carpet. I imagined, like I always do, people coming in, they saying, wow, look at that carpet. And then she says, let's get to fucking. In my world, that's how it works. But she says, wow, look at that carpet. Isn't that a beautiful carpet? Where'd you get that? Now I could maybe possibly, I'm not good at making stuff up, make something up about that and tell her where I got it and the story behind it and the loom that made it. And it came from India and it once was a magic carpet and Indians were on the fucking thing and they were 69ing and scissoring each other. That carpet's very rare. I could have done something like that, but I really can't make shit up when I tell stories. I tell the truth always. So I thought they'd see this carpet. Wow, look at that carpet. I want to fuck him more. I want to suck him more. I want to roll around with him more. I want to scissor him more. I want to pull him so tightly into me that when I pull him into me, his soul somehow connects with my soul because chicks have like souls that have hooks on them. His soul gets hooked on my soul and we become one forever. They got like hooking souls. And that's what they can do. You have to be careful. I wanted something like that to happen with this carpet. That didn't happen with this carpet. It cost a fortune. I had to have the carpet cleaned in the car, which I hardly ever drive. And the carpet cleaned everywhere the damn carpet touched was ruined. Everything and everywhere it dripped stunk of urine. It went through the fucking floor of the bathtub. I took it to a car wash. It was absolutely a disaster in every way. Until eventually, I got kind of a hold of the carpet and got a rein in on the carpet because someone told me the uric crystals can be dissolved by an enzyme, a special enzyme that dissolves the crystal and then they pop and evaporate. It's like the most complex thing you've ever heard. Cats must do this on purpose looking for fucks. They're looking for fucking cat pussy all over the place and this does it. Cat pussy, cat dick, and this is their way of doing it. So Stanley comes over. Stanley's the female plumber to help me do this tub. I initially called him. He told me, well, we can't do that. It's too big a job. The guy came out. He talked about it. He said you need wiring and pipes had broke and he'd have to have someone look over the trusses. He's got to pull a permit on it to make sure it's all been done correctly. And he said he wasn't sure he could do it. Then he calls me back and says, I'm sending Stanley over. Now, Stanley sounds like a man. But Stanley's not a man. I talked about this briefly in another recording. Stanley is a female. and a really good-looking female. I have to tell you the type of face she has. It's not a particularly attractive. It's not ugly, but it's not attractive. You wouldn't say, well, I got to have that, until Stanley smiles. When she smiles, her eyes change, her face changes, and you want her really bad when she smiles. But if she's not smiling, you could fully believe that she's a female plumber. So Stanley comes out. He says, I'm going to send Stanley out to look at the tub and figure out what we can do. He said, now you had a steel tub. We got fiberglass tubs. We got one liner tubs or plastic liner all in one tub. It comes with plastic walls and plastic backing. It just fits in. There it is. There's your fiberglass tub. I don't want something like that. Because years ago, I was in a bathtub when I was going to university, and the bathtub had a crack in the bottom, and all the water would leak out the crack. Later on, after telling the landlord and other people, I had roommates, they found out that the crack in the water went right over power lines that were directly under the tub. And I said to myself, I'm never going to get a plastic or whatever these are, plastic tub, plastic walls connected to it, an all-in-one thing. I didn't want that whatsoever. So I had an old steel tub, and a steel tub is good bathtub. Why? Because the steel absorbs the heat and retains the heat of the water a long time. And that's what you like. I like to sit in a tub for hours on end. Honest to God, if I have the time. I got my weed out. I got my fucking flower going, my weed going. I got all kinds of booze in there. It's just a fantastic thing, man. Your heart's relaxed. Remember, your heart's a muscle. You got this warmth around you. You're being hugged by the creations, this water that's been in this planet since day one. You know, water's not been, doesn't keep falling from the sky out of the outer space. It's the same water that's always been on this planet since day one. And it's like, wow, I really have blessed water. I mean, supposedly there's holy water, but honestly, all water on the planet Earth is holy water if it was created by a creator, and that's would be holy water. It doesn't have to be blessed by some rube with dirty panties on. It's fucking all blessed because it was created by the Lord from day one. That's in six days, 7 day rested. It's been done like that. So I sort of revere water, and I find it like invigorating, H2O and hydrogen and all kinds of shit and oxygen and this warmth, and you can heat it up, and it's there to hug you and give you this passage, safe passage to whatever trouble you may be going through. You can get that when you take a bath. I don't ever understand people standing up that take showers. It doesn't make much sense. Taking showers, standing up, rolling around 50 times in circles while you're standing up to take a shower. It sounds like a car wash or something like that. I don't really go for that. I want to be hugged. I want to be embraced by the comforting fucking magic of water on the planet Earth. So Stanley comes over. I'm going to call her Stan if I can. Stanley's getting hard for me to say. Stan comes over, and she came over, they had already pulled all the stuff out. They had worked on the joist under the floorboards. They had worked on a couple things. Now, I found out that the joist under the floorboard, the one joist, water had gotten to it or was getting to it, and that joist had rotted out somewhere midway under the tub. So that joist was going anywhere. And you know what I did? I used that because I'm a master at fucking positivity. I said to myself, you know what? This was a good thing, Norm. The carpet, 700 fucking pounds, 700 pounds of urine, the carpet busting through the bottom of the floor. That was a good thing. I wouldn't have known about that fucking joist under there, or joist or floorboard, whatever they call them. I wouldn't have known about that if the tub didn't crash through. And who knows, maybe it would have crashed through with me just in it and no carpet. Maybe I would have been killed and there would have been no more Norm Augustinus. You fucking think about that, fuckstick. Where are you going to go when I'm gone? When I'm dead? Think of the support you gave me financially, which is goddamn zero. If I knew where your house was, I'd come with my detective friend, I'd ring your doorbell, and I'd put one right between your fucking crossed eyes. So Stan comes out. She's inspecting the work. Now, they got the tub in there, but the tub's not fully hooked up. The tub's in there. It looks good. I didn't want a plastic tub. How do you sell a plastic tub? You don't want a plastic tub, a chick sitting on it and shit. Plastic tub. You don't want a plastic tub because it transfers the sound from the plastic tub. It's like a little parabolic dish that you can use to eavesdrop on people. That's what a plastic tub is like that. She's in there. She's whacking it. She's blowing pussy farts. It's broadcasting out the tub, out the sides of the walls of the tub. I just don't want nothing like that. I want a steel tub like they're supposed to be. So Stan comes over to investigate the job. Now, when Stan comes over, she's got a female assistant, and she tells me that she's a journey. Now, Stan is something they call a journeyman. She's a journeyman plumber, and her assistant is called a plumber in training. She gave me another name for this woman. The woman that came with her is learning to be a union plumber. That's what we have in Michigan, all union workers, is learning to become a union plumber, and they call her an apprentice. That's it. She's an apprentice with Stan, and she comes out to check the tub out. Now, I had heard they were coming out because I left a message on my voice answering machine. It's a machine I have on the table in the kitchen, and it plugs into the phone jack, and then there's a red bleeping light, and you can push a button, and it says, you have this messages. If it's blinking red, you have messages, and I still have that thing because I still have a wall phone way up here. And I also heard that some people where I live also have party lines. I've never had a party line. Now, if you don't know what a party line is they get a way cheaper rate on the telephone bill if they share their line with other people. Now, they get their own phone line, but if you pick up the phone ready to dial out, say you're calling pussy, you're calling for fucking something, she's late, tell her to bring some Magnum XL ribbed condoms, you tell her to bring dildo, whatever you tell her to bring, when you pick the phone up, there may be somebody else talking on the phone, and it's cheaper. And you say, I'm so sorry, didn't know somebody was on the phone. But you get a half rate with a party line telephone, and we still have these in upper northern Michigan, and I know they have them in abundance in the upper peninsula of Michigan, the UP. They have them everywhere there. So that's what a party line is. So when Stan comes with her apprentice to work on the tub, I say to myself, wow, she's better looking than Stanley. I don't want to say, if I say Stan, don't think I'm a fruit saying, talking things about a man. Stan and Stanley are a female. They're the same. Stan and Stanley. Now I asked the guy why they call her Stanley. And here's the reason. In the acting world, there's a person named Stanislavski. And he was a great acting coach. He's long dead now. And I guess this woman was great at putting on put-ons, great at acting in any scenario, great on getting out of jobs, great on and answering the phone and faking her way out of shit. So someone started to call her Stanley because of Stanislavski, the acting coach who's world famous, who's now dead. So they called her Stanley. I don't actually know her fucking name. I now know her as Stan. The girl that comes with her, the apprentice that comes with her, is pretty exciting. Now think about this. They work with liquids. They work with pipes. Don't they? They work with salves and lubricants and sealants, all this gooey stuff. And what does that do to a female plumber, an apprentice plumber too? They see all this shit. They see these pipes. They see stuff going down pipes and things in pipes. They're unplugging things and they find big fucking rubbers knotted off, loaded with fucking cum. They find these in pipes. So actually, a female plumber is the way to go. And why is it the way to go? Because like in every situation, I look for the possibility of fucking whoever's in front of me. You can't say that, here's what you might say. Well, that's taking advantage of someone, Norm. You're trying to use them. You're not seeing them as a person. That's not in any possible way. I'm seeing this person and seeing the reproductive system, and I'm saying, I'm going to keep it in order. I'm going to help her keep it in order. She may be constipated. Chicks use you now for constipation. If your cock is in her cunt, which is just touching the shithole, the actual shit pipe, the actual skin pipe, you'll unconstipate her. So fucking is a good thing in many ways to a woman. I just want to just get in there. I don't know why. So they see all these things, the fluids, the lotions, all of it, and they're always in a ready state. They're a plumber. They work with round things. They work with holes. They work with liquids. Well, that's all to do with fucking. And if you know how to use that to your advantage, once you know the secret, you get pussy all over the place. You constantly get more and more fucking, don't you? Big, creamy fucking seams aimed right at you. Creamy seams aimed at you is something big or something important. It's a monumental moment in your life. I mean, how many creamy seams have you aimed at you? Maybe not a lot. When you go and they bury you, you want to have a lot of creamy seams behind you. You want to know that. Creamy fucking seams. It's just exciting. Creamy seam, a hole below it, all this pipe work. That's what a female plumber is to me. And I think, wow, she's got a good grasp on clutching onto a pipe 2 inches wide. Well, that's my dick. My dick is 15.5 pounds, 14 and a half inches long. When she's clutching onto a plastic pipe, a PVC pipe, a hex pipe, whatever the plumber uses, it's like she's clutching onto a cock. And I know she's got a good handle on and a good mentality with regarding gripping this pipe. And that's what your dick is to her. It's just a pipe, which means she's highly skilled. Now, what does the apprentice do? The apprentice plumber that wants to be a journeyman plumber who's got to do all these hours, like 4 years, she was telling me. 4 years of consistent documented work, all the hours down in log books. That's what they have to do. Well, the female, the new apprentice, she's got all those skills too. She's learning all those skills. When the apprentice comes in with Stan, which is Stanley, when she comes in, I could tell right away she wanted to bang me out. That's no shit. I knew right away that she wanted to do it. Now, I've smoked so much dope in this house that the marijuana smoke has become embedded in all the walls. It's embedded into the walls. It's embedded to the mortar between the bricks of the fireplace. It's embedded into the ceiling. It's embedded in every fiber in the carpet. It's embedded in every possible way. The kitchen towel, it's all embedded everywhere. And that means this to a female. Wow. This fucking guy likes to live. He likes to party. I smell dope in here. And they get turned on right away. Then they see your correspondent come out and they think, wow, I want to pump him dry. I want his two-part epoxy, his white hope. I want to be guzzling it. I want to be guzzling, gargling it in my mouth. Now, semen, believe it or not, is an antidepressant. A guy wrote this years ago. I read this in Dear Inc. magazine. He wrote it years ago. He was a scientist, and he said, a female that gets regularly dicked and the cream is deposited in her fucking seam, who gets regularly, takes it like crazy all the time, it works as an antidepressant. And this chick doesn't get depressed. So if you ever meet a chick and she says she doesn't take antidepressants and all this, and she says she's happy as hell, she's getting dick all the time. That's the chick you want. She enjoys dick. She knows what dick is. She likes the benefits of dick, not some goddamn angry lesbian or angry dyke and nothing like that. You don't want that in your life. You don't need that at all. So the lady comes in, this apprentice, and they tell me her name. I think it was Linda. Linda something. It was funny. It's like a Japanese or Chinese last name, except she's totally American. I don't know where it come from. And I think, wow, a Jap plumber, a gook plumber. And I think of that. And as I'm looking at her and say she might be a gook plumber, I'm thinking about all the fucking 18 months I spent in Vietnam just bombing the shit out in a Huey helicopter. I was a door gunner just taking fucking people out. And the captain I had, his name was James Smith, captain. He would drop me in the rice paddies and I'd just fuck away, man. Just, you ever hear things swing away? I just fuck away in the rice paddies and they'd lower the ladder down. When they lowered the rope ladder down, you know, I could barely walk up the rungs. I couldn't get up the rungs. Why couldn't I get up the rungs? Because I was exhausted from fucking, man. El Gampo had met them again in the vice paddy. I was like dying trying to get myself up one rung after another. I was so goddamn spent, so worked out from fucking, from moving my hip, the hip and lip action. So when I see the apprentice and I see Stan, I think, wow, two good looking plumbers come and look at the bathtub. Now, what does the bathtub remind them? This remind them of. You have to use all this shit. They think of all the times they've taken a dick in a bathtub. Bathtubs bring up fond memories. Bathtubs, and then they see the toilet. They see the commode there, whatever you call it, toilet, lavatory. They see the toilet and they think, wow. I remember the time I was in the Upper Peninsula in these little cottages. There was 14 of them. They were all dilapidated and falling the fuck apart. And I remember getting fucked all night long, throwing one rubber after another in the toilet, knot it off. They throw it in the toilet, take a dick again, stop, rest, eat a granola bar, fucking take a dick again, throw the condom in the toilet. They start thinking about shit like that, fuckstick. It just jogs their memories. Women don't think like you and I. They're in a dream state. They've got a script of what they think this romantic life should be, and any time it rings near that, they want to fuck it, they want to handle it, they want to take it down, they want to explore it, examine it, because they're always in this dream state of romance, this idea. They just don't think like you and I, ever. So when I see the two of them, and I see the lady come in, the apprentice, I realize that the apprentice is interested in me straight away. And Stan is interested in me because I fooled around with Stan. And I see that it's like she brought the apprentice with her because she wanted like a threesome with me and the gook plumber and the goddamn Stan. It's like a threesome there, but they're pretending to come there to check the bathtub, which is all nice and good. So, because I'm a forward person, because I don't mess around, I really don't, I don't fool around, I'm not like you. You'll fucking take some slag out for 6 goddamn months or longer trying to impress her an ice cream, movies, fucking fix her car, it costs you $600. You'll do shit like that forever for this bitch, and she will never like you because of it. She'll use you because now you've shown her you're a good janitor, a fixer. You'll give her money if she needs it. That's not a lover. That's not romance. That's not what they want. Though you might have fallen for that bullshit and thought you were in. Well, I've really done this for her. I've done this. I don't do goddamn nothing ever. So when I see the bathtub and all that shit, I say to Stanley, I say, wow, can you guys forgive me? Can you excuse me for a moment? Look how I said forgive me. That's like a Freudian slip, fuckstick. That's a classic Freudian slip. Can you forgive me? That means that I'm looking for forgiveness somewhere in my mind, my subconscious, my conscious mind. I don't really know, but I just said, can you forgive me, when I meant to say, can you excuse me? So when I say excuse me, I don't know if you know this. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before. When I got this house, a person that had a thing they called a rich plan, I don't even know if it exists anymore. A rich plan at that time, the guy's dead now. A rich plan at that time was, this company brought you a freezer. It's a big one. Freezer might be 5 feet wide, and it might be 4.5 feet tall. And it's just a freezer. That's all it does. You can't put it in your kitchen or nothing like that. The guy had the rich plan, and they brought him a freezer. When they brought him a freezer, they filled that fucking freezer with all kinds of meat. It was called the rich plan. I don't know if it exists anymore or not. And to get the meat into the freezer, they installed an I-beam above the staircase. Now, you know, a basement staircase declines. It goes down. And the roof goes down with it as you go down the stairs, the roof above your head. When he had the rich plan people put what? They put the damn I-beam on top of the roof of the staircase as it declined down. And it built into the I-beam, in the track of the I-beam, was a winch. And the winch has a chain on it. Now, the chain will lift up or lift down, or it can move you forward and backwards on this winch. It's really handy. So I open the basement door. When I open the basement door, they see me messing around with the winch. Now, the winch, I've altered. The winch has an area, it's like a leather seat. I can put my legs through it. I can put my torso through it. It's a winch with a seat on it that moves up and down in this I-beam above the staircase. And then, of course, below you are the steps, the risers and the treads, whatever you want to call them. The steps of the staircase, they go up and down. You can go down to the basement. You can go up to the basement. Well, I don't have the rich plan. Nobody comes here and delivers the rich plan. I don't want some fuck coming here, looking through my windows, going through my stash, looking at my fucking guns, looking at anything I got, my hand grenades, my goddamn landmines. I got Claymore landmines. I had those shipped home when I was in Vietnam. I had them all painted white, and it said fine China, and the fucking shit just got right through and got delivered to my parents' house. All these landmines. So I don't want somebody looking through, knocking on the windows and shit like that. Hey, I got your meat here. Hey, fuck off. I'm now in my room now, pumping off. I've got my dick out. I can't come out now. I can't be bothered. I'm freshening up my semen. That's what you do. You're supposed to keep your semen fresh. Chicks say they want fresh things. They want fresh vegetables. One of the things I find interesting is if you tell a chick you pump off all the time to keep the cum fresh for them, they love that shit. Have you ever said something like that to your ugly hag? No. Why not? That's what you got to say to her. She says, why are you pumping off again? She tries to turn it bad on you. You fucking deviant. You don't like me. You don't like my pussy. You hate me. Of course you do. But you don't tell her that. You don't like me. You're fucking pumping off without me. I hate this shit. I'm getting a divorce. You turn it around. You say, what are you talking about, Shelly? I'm pumping off to keep my jism fucking fresh for you. When you get a mouthful, you want fresh semen or you want stale semen? You want bubblingly fresh, jumpy semen with the semen's jumping out of the fucking, out of the jism? You want them jumping out like dolphins jumping out of the water? Or you want dead semen? That's what you say. You correct it around. You don't want me, you fucking fuck. You're beating off. So, it had the rich plan. He had the I-beam. He had the winch that moved it up and down and back and forth. And I'm setting it up, and I just say to him, this is what I'm going to talk here that I know you'd never do. I say to him, let's get it on. You guys want to get it on? And I said, creatively. Creatively, let's get it on. Now, I'm getting close to where I want to talk about how this smoke and shit has helped me out. This burning fires in Canada, how it's helped me out. How deeply it's moved me and turned me sort of into a different person with regards to a couple subjects. So I say to them, let's get it on. Maybe you don't say that. Maybe you don't say anything. I once had a friend that said, you're the only person that I've ever seen that kind of asked them to get it on. He said, people don't do that, Norm. They just make their moves. And I always ask people, but I notice that if I ask them, it's like a combination. I say it really creatively and funny and sort of stuff like that, and they go for it. So let's get it on. Think of that. If it was you and the chick was in your car and she was stinking your car up with her pussy, and she says, so let's get it on. Would you make a move? Wouldn't you like that? Isn't that refreshingly cool? Let's get it on. And I said to these two plumbers, Stanley and the fucking Gook, they told me your name. Fuck, I forgot it. I just already gave it to you. They told me her name. She looked like she had gook eyes, a mix of gook or something like that, a plumber. And it makes sense for a gook to be a plumber. In Vietnam, these fuckers could dig tunnels that were 40 feet deep and they could house hundreds and hundreds of people. They were like football stadiums under goddamn ground. They're good with shit like that, man. What's plumbing? It's underground. It's in the ground. It's in the walls. It's hidden all over. They're good at it. They got that kind of fucking mind. So I say, let's get it on. When I say, let's get it on, I drop my fucking shorts. I got shorts on. They look like camo shorts. Now, that was probably stupid to do because I got a tiny glass bong I always carry in my right pocket. And when I dropped the shorts, they hit the stairs and I thought I heard glass. I didn't want to fucking break that bong up. But it doesn't matter because this had bigger priority. I dropped my shorts and they saw me fit myself into the leather seat of the winch above the staircase. And there I am naked. I got a massive cock. It's not a joke. That's like some old cliche thing. Yeah, I got a big dick. Does he have a big dick? How long is his dick? This has been going on since the dawn of time, but I really do have a big dick. And I think my dick got to me eventually, and I saw what I had. And that's when I started to make breakthroughs with regarding to females. All kinds of breakthroughs, one after another breakthroughs regarding just myriads of subjects with regards to a bitch. So I say, let's get it on. And I'm fitting myself into the leather seat in the hoist, and I got a chain in each hand. One chain on the right, one chain on the left. Now, the right chain will lower me, and the left chain will move me up and down on the I-beam. When I say up, I mean to the top of the stairs. When I say down, I mean to the bottom of the stairs. Now, these are plumbers, and the other one's an apprentice plumber. They're an apprentice plumber and a plumber. They understand, supposedly, mechanics. And I remember seeing Stan look at her new apprentice. The new apprentice that was learning, that'd go for 4 years to become a journeyman plumber, they looked at each other and they knew straight away I was talking about dicks going into pussies and undulating and minges gripping around cock diameters and holding on tightly and juices and fast breathing and heartbeats and dilated eyeballs. There's all sorts of shit going on and they're thinking all that stuff. Now, you might think this, and I would have thought this probably at one time. I'd have thought, oh, fucking A, man. They're going to call the cops. I was going to rape them. They're going to call the cops. I'm dead, man. Why'd I do that? Oh, fuck. Why'd I do that? 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Why the fuck did I do that? I'd be saying shit like this to myself all the time. Then I'd go into some fucking thing about walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls. This is a fucking series. This is a thing I go into, a cycle, if I feel I've done something that could put me in jail. You're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls. It's a rupture. I don't know that fucking thing I did when I was a kid and I was nervous in hallways and I didn't have a hall pass. And I try to drown out my worries by chanting this fucking thing. You're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls. It's a rupture. It says it at the end of this recording. I heard that to try to comfort myself through troublesome situations as I walk down dark halls or dark alleys or into dark basements. I'd start doing that. And I thought, oh, fuck, am I going to be in trouble here? This is what I thought years ago. No, I don't care. I mean, what are we looking at here? They're not the saints that they tried to be in the 30s and the 20s and the 40s. Everybody knows that was bullshit in the 50s and all that. They were fucking like crazy more than ever, but nobody would allow that to be, like, put out. So I just asked them, let's get it on. And they knew what I meant when I said, let's get it on. You know what's exciting, man? You know that something that you've maybe never done? You ever seen a female plumber drop her tool belt to the ground? It's sexy, man. You ever see her apprentice drop her tool belt, which is around her waist, to the ground? It's sexy. And the really definable, enriching fucking sounds, this thump as it hits the plywood floor covered with linoleum. Thump! It's really enriching. It's really moving, that sound. I knew it was a yes. The thump was telling me, here it comes. When they dropped their tool belts, thump, thump, and then they kicked off their fucking shoes. They didn't know what I was going to do. I knew what I was going to do. With the wench and the fucking I-beam and the steps. They knew what I was going to do. Now, who gives a flying fuck about the bathtub? The bathtub will be there 100 years after I'm dead. But this moment won't be there, not even 5 or 40 minutes. It's going to dissipate quickly, man. It's be like an image you see and then suddenly a puff of smoke goes up in the air and that image is gone. I can't risk losing this. So I'm forward and straight with everybody, even you. I told you if I was with your sister and she was any looks at all, I'd fuck her. Right up the crapper. First the crapper, then the cunt, then I'd 69 her, then I'd fucking scissor her. And then when she's trying to run from me because I'm like an uncontrolled coyote on speed, I'd fucking slap her around, man. I'd fucking chase her with my Glock and I'd start firing it. You're dead. I'd say this to her. You're dead, bitch. This is what turns chicks on. Ask anybody you know. You're a dead lay, goon. So I hear the fucking tool belts hit the floor. I see their fucking work boots hit the floor. Now, when their work boots hit the floor, steel-toed boots are heavy, and they got a steel area in the front. When the steel toed hits that, I hear another gratifying thump. Thump, 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 thump. Their fucking boots coming off, man. Their tool belts coming off. Then their fucking pants come off. When their pants come off, it's so gratifying because the sounds get lighter and more daintier. The pant comes off. I hear the belt buckle hit the floor. When they're down to their panties and I hear the panties come off, it's silent. It's whisper silent, man. It's like it's 6 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning, 4 a.m. in the morning, and it's 20 degrees out, and there's a light misting of snow dropping to the ground in your yard. There it comes, man. There's the fucking panties. Look at it. Now, this is not a goddamn made-up story. I couldn't make these stories up. It's not possible. They have this shit they say. Those who talk about it don't get it. Those who get it don't talk about it. Well, they're fucking nuts. Why wouldn't you talk about that? You'll talk about the fence you put up in the backyard that's got all kinds of tar and pitch on it or it's been pressure treated so it doesn't rot? Why will you talk about that but not talk about pussy, the most glamorous, the most exciting fucking thing, the grease of the world that makes you keep going? Who wouldn't talk about that, fuckstick? So when I see the panties come off and I hear the panties hit the ground, I swear I'm so attuned now to these two, I can hear the pubic hairs hit the ground. I can hear pubic hairs as they take their panties off. Now, one girl has a brace on, the apprentice. It's up around her waist and her tits. It's some kind of back brace. She doesn't want to hurt her back while she's at work. One actually took her back brace and she had it on. It was so exciting, man. Her tits were bulging out the side of the back brace by her armpits. And, man, it was unbelievable. This is the way fucking should be. I'm popping a rod right now telling you the story, which upsets me because this isn't a fruit show. This is an educational show for men and things like that, not fruits. But I see her tits bulging out the sides of her fucking, this back brace thing that plumbers use, man. And the one girl, this could maybe push you over, the apprentice. She's on her period. I've never seen anybody that wears a fucking maxi pad or whatever the pad is. They call it a fucking sanitary belt. Now, she's, like I said, some kind of China woman, some kind of gook. She's got a sanitary belt around her waist, which looks so sexy, you wouldn't believe it, and it's clipped to her pad that goes between her legs. Now, I'm not one of those people that won't pump somebody on their period. I actually think it's a blessing. I think, wow, she's on her period. Look at that. There might have been a baby in there. The baby, look at me. I'm taking the baby out. My big dick wiped out the baby as I'm reaming her out. Man, I got to worry about pregnancy. I'm wiping her out. Her sugar walls are fucking blown out. Look at the goddamn nuked mess I made to her cunt. That's what I think when a chick's on a period. That's what you should think. Embrace it. Pull it in. Love it. Touch it. Smell it. Feel it. That's what I do. When they take off their bras and stuff, I can see that her tits are sweating. Sweating tits. Now, I'm dangling in the leather seat I have attached to the fucking, the goddamn wench that's connected to the I-beam in the staircase alley, the staircase opening. And I'm watching all this, and it's beyond anything I've ever seen. I've never been in this situation. I've never watched anybody do that. I've never had two plumbers come in, two female plumbers, and one embrace me like that. And everything about them I liked, man. Before they start to move towards me, they turn around, one bends over, I see her brown eyes, I see her cunt. It's just an exciting thing. Now, the beauty of this is, their eyes dilate super big. I don't know what fucking color their eyes were, but when they dilated, they looked like vampires. Hungry cum vampires. It's what it looked like. Big, dilated, black eyes, like the size of a fucking coffee. The thing you put under a coffee cup, the plate under the coffee cup. They get that big, and it's dark, man. And that means it's just darkness in there. It hasn't been written. It's all dark, and I'm going to go into that darkness, and maybe I'll lose myself. Maybe I won't, but it's the tunnel open, man. And it's both open for me with these two goddamn chicks, and I know what you're thinking. How could you fuck two chicks, Norm? You can't pump two chicks. You'll blow your load in 3 goddamn minutes and you gotta get out of there. You got nothing left now. You're a fucking phony. You're a fraud. But I don't do that. Now, they walk towards the staircase, and when they do, I instruct them to do this. And that is, I said, get on your knees on the step. And then the other girl, I told the gook apprentice, I said, you get on the next step and you aim your ass out in the staircase. You aim your ass out, you're on your knees are on the step, you're holding onto the step with your hands. Now, what I do is lower myself on the I-beam with my winch. I lower myself, I told you I can control it with the chains. I back myself out, I lower myself to the first woman below the top step where she is on the other woman, and I go down there, and I literally impale her with my dick. It's such a big dick, and when I impale her, you should have heard this sound she made, like... It was like that. It was like I popped a balloon. I popped something. All the angst, all the pressures, all the worry, all the horror that she's seen up to that point, it had blown out. I popped it. I punctured it because my dick was so goddamn big. And then I pulled out and I raised myself up to the other chick on the first step whose ass is aimed at me, and I just cram her too. I impale her like you've never seen. Boom, 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 boom. As I'm impaling her in a staircase, it echoes like you've never heard, like we're fucking below an ancient goddamn castle in the UK, in England, somewhere over there. I'm impaling out there in the countryside. I'm impaling her and it's echoing. I'm in the dungeon of this fucking place and I'm impaling her and all these sounds are echoing. It was absolutely fucking incredible. In fact, I lost myself so bad as I went back and forth. I gave him equal shares of my meat. It was like I was giving equal shares of land to, I had died and I was giving it to my family. Equal shares of meat and time. Meat and time, time and meat. Equal shares going into that big fuckhole. And when that goddamn, when I was done with a pussy, I went into the ass. I went into the ass and I crammed that. And then the thing, the beauty of this, you could hear me manipulating the chains. You could hear me moving the chains as I moved up and back and up and back. And then I went nuts. I went completely lost my mind. And I lowered the winch so I was lower. And I started eating their pussies out. Now, when I was eating their pussies out, I thought, wow, I can't eat pussy. I can't stand the stench of pussy. I can't be around pussy, the stink of it that comes from it. I've been told when I was a kid, even from day one, when you smell something that smells that bad, you run because it's bad for your health. You don't get closer to it. Find a dead cat, you don't go smell it. You find a bag of shit or a bunch of big logs or turds, you don't go smell it and get an inch away from it. You run from the goddamn thing. That's our conditioning. That's our training from day one, isn't it? In America or elsewhere. So, as I got closer, I thought, and started eating her pussy, I thought, I've lost myself. I just broke a cardinal rule. I'm eating pussy, and I shouldn't be eating pussy because now I'm going to get throat cancer, and I'm not going to be able to talk, and I require myself to be able to talk to do these recordings and other things. I'm going to get throat cancer. They're going to cut my voice box out because I ate pussy, and she'll live to 90 years old, never get goddamn nothing but have a trail of voiceless men behind her. Isn't that creepy? It's like poetry. It's like a poem or something. So, why could I eat pussy? Why was I having no trouble eating pussy in this instance? As I told you at the beginning of this recording, I said to you this. The air is thick with smoke from the burning fires that are burning over in Canada. It's thick and burning and raging out of control, and there's smoke all over Michigan and smoke all over other states nearby. That smoke, as I ate that pussy, it was like I was eating barbecued chicken. You ever smell smoke burning from wood, especially nice wood, hardwoods and things like that? It smells beautiful. It was like I was eating barbecued chicken because you smelled burning, you smelled the smoke in the air wherever you were. I was eating barbecued pussy. It was a state of mind. I could lap away, and all I smelled was the fucking smoke coming from the fires in Canada. One after another, I could go lick after lick and lick and lick. I was lick, 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 lick. I was licking like crazy, like I was out of my goddamn mind. I was licking because the air was contaminated. The air was dense, was thick with fucking smoke from burning trees, from dying trees. So here was life in her cunt. There's an egg in there. It's in there. It wants to be impregnated, wants fucking semen. And I'm fueling my lust, my madness with the smell of death from burning trees. Now, trees are alive, but they're dying. This smoke proves it to me. They're dying, and I'm using their death, their ashes, like I'm in fucking a desert burning peyote, or burning, like I'm some ritual going on. It was the natural burning smoke in the air, and it completely made me immune to the stench of pussy. I now know that if I could sell candles, bitches are nuts about candles, 4-wick candles, 5-wick candles, to try to keep the fucking going on. If I could sell candles that smelled like goddamn burning trees, burning forests, that it would open up a new horizon, a new goddamn opportunity, a new perspective in men who would like to eat pussy but can't. I've learned this.
Hang on, will ya?
I mean, it was complete madness. It was madness and good and bad and different and unbelievable. And man, you should have heard the flashlight. Sometimes her flashlight, the apprentice, little tiny thing, would roll around. I think from the fucking and everything. And it would roll around and the light and the thing had come on. And it's an LED flashlight. And I'm looking at the light and I'm looking at the rolling and I'm thinking, man, this can't get any fucking better. This ain't real. Nobody lives like this. Fuck stick.
You've been listening to the one and only
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a $1 million house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking good-looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Judy, how are you? I hope this letter finds you happy and well. Judy, I want to tell you about something that recently happened to me. The other day I was walking alongside a road on my way to the Donut King. Every morning, I always go to the Donut King to buy a coffee and purchase a donut. While I was walking, I stumbled across an old hula hoop. Hula hoops were circular, round, 42-inch in diameter, plastic hoops that you spun around your rotating waist. The object of the hula hoop was to be able to spin the hoop on your waist while you moved your hips. If the hula hoop fell to the ground while you were rotating it around your hips, that hula hoop session was over. As you probably know, the sexier the girl was that was rotating the hula hoop around her hips, the better. Fat chicks and hula hoops doesn't really go over well. Judy, the hula hoop I found had 8 pairs of women's heavily soiled cum panties clinging to the hoop. The cum panty leg openings had been strung through the plastic hula hoop in the same way that you string a metal key ring through a house and car keys. When I examined the female-stained cum panties, I noticed that someone had bored 2-inch in diameter dick holes through the rear end of all 8 pairs of women's cum panties. That means the chick was wearing the cum panty when the dick was driven through the fabric of the panty. The old hula hoop and the cum panties had been deeply impregnated with a stench of bad pussy. While I smoked flour and chewed on a THC edible, I thought about what I had found, and I came to the following deductions. I believe a man that was talented at using hula hoops worked as a master hula hooper at a traveling circus or carnival. He had a monster dick. When women saw him, they got hypnotized by the spinning hula hoop moving about his waist, and they got very wet and super horny. When the hula hoop master swiveled his hips, his huge meat swung out about 2 feet from his body, and then it would recoil back to its normal position throughout his set. I am quite certain that after his hula hoop performance was over, the hula hoop dude took lots of women behind the cotton candy booth, and he drove his mammoth cock into the woman's cramp hole before she had a chance to take off her panties. When the hula hoop master had reamed out the woman's cunt and shithole with his colossal schlong, he opened his hula hoop ring, and he ran the ring through the leg hole of the cum panty. There were 8 pairs of cum panties dangling from the old hula hoop. I guess the hula hoop fell off one of the traveling circus trucks as it passed by where I found it. Judy, I took the hula hoop home and I hung it from the ceiling in my bedroom. The powerful stench of pussy coming off the heavily soiled, drilled out cum panties make me think I just got some from some hot bird. It's been a while since I got some. What a find. Hee-haw. Sometimes I get lucky. I gotta go. I've got shit to do. Write me back when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister the other day. Your big-titted little sister was climbing up a rock climbing wall that had been set up in downtown Grayling. I walked over to the wall, and I stood under your big-titted little sister while she climbed to the top of the rock wall. While I looked up at your big-titted little sister's tight ass and camel-toeing juicy cunt lips, quarter-sized droplets of hot vaginal lubricant dripped out of your big-titted little sister's gash, and they landed on my forehead and around the opening of my mouth. When your big-titted little sister saw me lick her cunt drippings off my lips, she got turned on, and she climbed backwards back down the rock-climbing wall. She moved fast,
like a spider monkey on speed. When your big-titted little sister got to where I was standing, she was still clinging onto the rock-climbing wall. So I clutched onto each of her delicious, creamy, white-ass cheeks, and I gently pushed her clitoris into one of the fake embedded rocks attached to the rock-climbing wall until your big-titted little sister came. While your big-titted little sister came, I pulled off her shorts and crotchless panties, and I gave your big-titted little sister a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister's crap hole, and while your big-titted little sister clung onto the rock-climbing wall and feverishly bucked her sweating hips back and forth, a woman walked up to us, and she said,
"I got some action on a rock-climbing wall, too. It was years ago. I climbed to the top of the wall, and I pulled off my pants, and I spread my legs. The dude with me was overweight, and he was exhausted. He was climbing that rock-climbing wall because he thought we would bond, and I'd let him pork me. As he moved up the wall, he would reach out wanting to find something to hold on to. We were up like 150 feet. It was an Olympic-size climbing wall. He was nearly to the top, and he reached out for a climbing hold. But there was no climbing hold to clutch onto. There was only my huge, swung-open, stretched-out pussy. His hand went deep into my wet pussy. I felt him frantically try and grab onto anything inside my gigantic fuck hole. When he realized he was going to fall to his death, he looked up at me and said, 'Please don't let me die, I'll eat you out and buy you a 50-pound bag of shrimp from Walmart.' And that's when I drove the heel of my foot into his face. As he fell down the wall at a high rate of speed, his cock got hooked by one of the climbing holds and his prick got torn off. I like this sex scene. I want to be a part of it. My hair barrette is made of cocaine. We can break it up and snort it. Let's make it a threesome. What do you say?"
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Ladies, take a look at one of our HD 85-inch store monitors closest to where you are standing in the store. What are you looking at? Well, I'll tell you. You're looking at a 42-inch in diameter hula hoop. So what you say? Had one as a kid? You didn't have one of these. I can guarantee it. Injected inside the hollow tube of this hula hoop is a special formulated pussy stench gel. The juices of 10 very odorous, sexually active, scraggly pussies is scooped out of active cunts using a tablespoon, and it is concentrated 100 times, and it is squirted inside the hollow tube of the hula hoop. And what are those garments hanging from the hula hoop? Girls, those are heavily soiled pairs of women's cum panties. The cum panties have been strung onto the hula hoop in the same way that you'd pull house and car keys onto a metal key ring. There are shit, piss, whiskey, vomit, and semen stains on each and every one of these cum panties. What's our beautiful demonstrator model pointing at? Look at that! There are 2-inch in diameter round holes blown into the ass end of every panty attached to that pussy stench gel infused hula hoop. Yep, you got it. Those are raging dick holes. Watch the monitor closely, ladies. Our model is now swinging the hula hoop around her cum-stained hips. She's sexy, baby. Ooh-wee! You can be sexy, too, just like our store demonstrator model. What kind of woman would want to swing around a smelly plastic hula hoop with 8 pairs of putrid-smelling, dry-rotting, and yellowing women's cum panties bolted onto it? The kind that wants dick. We're talking about you, honey. When you swing this hula hoop around your cum-starved, dickless hips, your man will be overwhelmed by the powerful, hypnotic stench of raw pussy. He'll pop a rod, man, and he'll fuck the hole closest to wherever he's standing, and that's your decrepit hole, sugar. You're not invisible anymore. You're getting dick whore. Take it all night long. Ding dong. Meat delivery, front or back door, ma'am. Look how hot you are as you rotate your fucked out arthritic hips. You're not a dried out postmenopausal pancake titted atrophied pussy ghost. You're in demand again because you bought this amazing hula hoop old bag revitalizer revolutionary product for only $99.99. Swing your hips. Take a dick to your lips. Men can't resist being attracted to cum panties that reek of pussy, and they especially can't resist a woman using a unique pussy stink spreader hula hoop complete with bolted-on cum panties. Come to the counter right now and get your hula hoop. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phillips has just shit. Mandy was filling the cigarette vending machine in the employee break room that is situated alongside our employee disco dance floor. When coins are inserted into the cigarette vending machine, the customer pulls a lever to dispense the pack of cigarettes. When Mandy pulled out the 10-inch long dong-like dispensing levers to ensure they were all functioning properly, she got wet and her nipples got hard. Mandy has irritable bowel syndrome and she's extremely horny. When Miss Phelps' pussy juices started flowing, they ran down to her shithole door, lubricating it, and her cramp door unexpectedly swung open and she shit onto the employee disco dance floor.
When I pulled those long handles out of the cigarette vending machine, it made me think of the guy I used to chum around with when I lived in Arizona. He worked for a company that mined silver. His job was to attach wires onto dynamite sticks in the silver mines. The wires also got attached onto a wooden box located 100 feet outside the silver mine. The wooden box had a single plunger that came out the top. The plunger looked just like the levers on the cigarette machine in the break room. One time my boyfriend allowed me to stand above the plunger without any panties on. I lowered my hips down and the plunger went deep into my wet pussy. And when the dynamite in the silver mine detonated, I experienced a powerful earth-shattering orgasm. I felt so empowered and sexy. There was an explosion in the silver mine and an explosion in my fuckhole mine too. So what I shit. Everyone shits. Clean it up. Everyone relives memories. Now you've done it. I'm pissed. You fucking bastards. I'm going to take out everyone in this store. You don't deserve me. You're gonna die while you're holding onto your department store shopping bag filled with face serums and fuck candles. I want everyone in this department store to die right now.
Attention maintenance! Please head over to the employee disco dance floor in the break room. Bring mops, a bottle of Mr. Clean, an Airwick solid air freshener, a 12-ounce spray can of Springtime in Paris air freshener, a woman's medium-sized yellow sundress, a size 5 pair of crotchless panties, a vaginal egg vibrator, a squeegee, a hairbrush, a 1960s rubber douche bulb, a 38 Double D Cross Your Heart latex brassiere, a period sanitary belt, and 3 packs of Bazooka Bubblegum. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.
Dick!
If you enjoy Norm's show, please head to normaugustinus.com and make a financial contribution. It's our scene, man.